Hey everybody, this is Joe Rudy. I'm here with Tim Kraber of Green Eyed Farms, and I'm going to pick his brain today on some of his regenerative farming practices. So Tim, how you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Doing well. So I guess just getting right into it, overall, how are things going for you and the farm like over the past year?
Honestly, it's been a pretty good learning year. Nothing crazy, but we just had such a wet, cold winter. Normally, we get some good growth for at least a week or two every month through the winter, and we got like zero growth all winter this year. And it was super, super wet, and so there's just lots of learning of what to do when there's that issue. And then we started getting some spring warmer weather, got some growth going on, and then the rain just shut off, and we haven't had a significant rain for probably 8-ish weeks. So that's been interesting trying to deal with a spring drought in North Carolina, which you would never really imagine, but making it work, you know, it's all about learning. Definitely nothing that I haven't been able to get around. So, and I have a lot of friends that are having lots and lots of grain sourcing issues and pricing. Everything's just going through the roof, and it's not coming with it. Mm-hmm. Just something we've been able to avoid, so that's been pretty awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it's strangely enough, it's even a kind of a drought down here in Florida too. We haven't had rains for a couple weeks.
Well, we just finally got some in the last 2 days, and we're supposed to get sporadic rain in the next week or so. So hopefully everything's really gonna shoot up. So
there you go. Could you tell me a little bit about how you kind of got started in farming? I guess just kind of an overview.
I mean, at the end of the day, I'm not even sure why, but I just always wanted to have cattle. I was wanting to raise cattle since I was a kid. And my parents moved out to North Carolina in 15 when my dad retired. And the 46 acres right next door to them came up for sale. And so I was like, what the heck, let's do it. I met us in 17, and my wife has been super supportive, so she was like, yeah. So, you know, I just kind of, we bought the property, and I started buying cattle, and it's been an adventure ever since.
There you go. Any specific challenges or some examples maybe of different challenges you faced kind of getting your farm up and running?
A lot of the stuff that I'm doing is not being done, and so I think the biggest problems or hiccups has been just not really having resources, whether it be people or literature or research to really give me an idea of where I can go, what will happen, what not. And so I'm just trying to read through things that are, you know, basically based off other, you know, farming techniques and trying to mix and blend and make things work. I think that's probably been the biggest challenge of just kind of figuring out, along with cost. I mean, you know, we started out in organic, and the cost was not prohibitive, but it was high. And then that's why we're not doing organic anymore. We had to stop in August of last year.
Okay, so you came out of the gate certified organic?
No, I mean, not certified, but we started. So you had to do 3 years, of organic standard before you get your actual certification. And last August, we went to get our certification. Our certifying agent was like, hey, really sorry, but we're not sending out any agents right now because of COVID. And so we were like, oh, that's cool. We'll just let it go. We'll wait, and whenever this is ready, we'll do it. And then I got 4 more acres in late August, early September of last year. And I went, you know what, let's go ahead and save a little bit of money and just kind of plant conventional and use conventional fertilizer to get things going. So I'm having to reset for 3 years for this new 4 acres. And the cost was, I did the cost at the end, it was $256 for the 4 acres with seed and fertilizer. And I did the math of what it would have been for my organic, and it was $1,280. And I was like, yeah, that's the first time I did the math. That's what I said. I said, oh man, I'm never getting that fade. It'll just not happen. So we do organic standards across the board, except for our seed and our fertilizer. It's just not feasible. Mm-hmm. Not without losing, probably, I don't know, losing money, but definitely would really cut into profit. So Yeah. It's like, you know what, you know, stick with regenerative agriculture, really work on building the soil, building better pastures, building healthier animals, and kind of go from there.
Okay. When a problem arises, how do you kind of resolve that? How do you go about figuring that out?
Well, I guess it really depends on the problem, honestly. You know, whether it be, you know, seed sourcing or what seeds I need for what or what pasture management plantings I need. Like I said, there's just not a whole lot out there to draw from. That's right at, you know, North Carolina regenerative agriculture for especially the pigs and the goats. Everybody feeds those guys except for me. And so, you know, I'm just trying to figure things out, reading a lot. Just go ahead and saying, all right, in the back of my head, this makes sense. This should work. Mm-hmm. And it has worked so far, knock on wood.
Yeah.
And so we're just going to wait and see. I mean, I've got my first meat animals for goat and pigs still growing. So I'm really curious to see what we end up getting for a final butcher weights and how much time it takes.
Yeah. Hmm. How's your experiences during your like past career and everything kind of influenced how you run your business now?
Probably adaptability and flexibility. You know, really being able to have an idea and, you know, you can have a plan all you want, but as soon as those boots hit the ground, stuff changes.
Yep.
And so just being able to adapt to different things that work or don't work, whether it be, all right, I can't get these seed, or, you know, I'll have a whole spring planting in mind of what I want to plant. I go to the seed store and they're like, yeah, we don't have that. We can't get that. I'm like, God, that really worked well. But just being able to change and adapt has probably been the biggest thing, and realizing, you know what, it might not work, and being patient, a lot of patience.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if you've employed anybody as kind of like a farmhand or anything. Is that something you've done or no?
No. It's just the family, just me. Like I said, I employ my 9-year-old a little bit at the farmer's market. I give her a little bit of a cut, but for the most part, no, I employed.
Got you. So I guess in terms of size, you're just kind of staying as is for the time being?
Yeah, I think in terms of employees, yes. I hope this year should be a big year. I'm looking to get into 2 restaurants. And so there's a lot of moving parts, but I don't think there'll be so many moving parts that I'll have to hire somebody.
Yeah. So would you say that's a goal of yours to kind of scale up to the point where you could potentially hire people, or do you just want to keep it like family run operation?
Absolutely. I would love to hire people, have people that are wanting to get into regenerative agriculture and really come learn and work. Work here for a year, 2 years, 3 years, however long they want, 6 months, I don't really care.
Yeah.
But if I can have somebody work, learn, really be interested in it, and then want to go and start their own business, I think that'd be awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. So your sales, what would you say, kind of up, down, flat?
I mean, I don't really have other than last year to compare with, but no, we are heads and tails above last year. So we ended up having almost 8 months of sales last year, with the first couple months being minimal, you know, 1, maybe 2 animals a month.
Mm-hmm.
And that grew pretty quick to 3 animals a month, and we're still doing 3 animals a month now. But I did 28K in sales last year, and I'll hit 28 next month.
Wow.
So
nice.
It's definitely on the up and up. And then, you know, if we can finalize my sourcing, I don't have enough property to source enough animals to grow my own animals enough to do the restaurant stuff. So finding and sourcing 100% grass-fed animals is proving difficult. But I think we just about have it set.
Okay.
And so when that happens, I think that I'll be able to really explode, at least in one of these restaurants. And then it just does burgers. And then the other one is a farm and table restaurant that should hopefully open early next year. And then I'll supply that with the prime cuts.
Okay. Do you have any plans, I guess a question of a related note on that. Do you have any plans to kind of start your own in-house animal breeding or?
Yeah, I already do. Yeah, yeah. No,
okay.
I've got everything here is El Natural. And so all of my breeding cattle live together. My breeding pigs, my breeding goats, they all live together.
Okay.
I just kind of do what I can to assist nature, if you will.
Gotcha.
I've got piglets growing out. We've got four piglets across the street right now. I've got two sows, or should drop two litters in the next couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I've got three calves. I got one that should probably drop again this week. A cow, anyway, not a calf. But and then I had 8 kids drop in February. So
very nice.
Yeah, we're trying to grow all our own because that is substantially cheaper.
Yeah, absolutely. So I know you mentioned a little earlier about kind of being short on information, kind of specific to what you're doing. How would you say that you do try to keep up kind of the best practices within the regenerative farming world?
A lot of reading, a lot of, I was doing conferences up until COVID. You know, I traveled to a couple of different conferences. I really enjoyed those. Lots to learn, a lot of great people.
Mm-hmm.
And then I do that. I read a lot. I'm always online. I'm always like, you are a dork, but I like it. It's fun. So just learning about where to pick out information, like the pigs. Like, nobody has forage information, forage quality information for pigs. It's not out there. Nobody does it. And so trying to pick through, you know, show horse forage, you know, dairy cattle. There's a lot of research out there on forage. And just figure out what has what, and then relate that to the needs of the pigs as they're growing. So
yeah,
that's probably my biggest source is reading, and then it was conferences. But
gotcha. And then in regards to marketing, what have you used to kind of generate your clientele?
Mostly social media. I do some. I have an email newsletter that I send out when I pick up new animals, things like that. And then a lot of face to face. People at the farmers market just walking by, asking questions, that sort of thing.
Gotcha. Very nice. Which product or type of livestock has the kind of the lowest barrier to entry to give a new farmer like a quick cash generation?
That's hard, because I think in regenerative agriculture, a lot of that is a pretty hard in terms of what quick would be. But I mean, I think chickens, poultry, like I said, I haven't done it, but in my head, that's the quickest turnaround you're going to have to be able to make it a profitable thing using chicken tractors or free range birds or whatever.
Yeah.
That's probably going to be your best bet in terms of starting off quick and fast.
Yeah, like what are your growth rates right now for, you know, from when a calf drops to you sending them to the butcher shop? What is the turnaround?
24 to 30 months. That okay. Calf's going to be at least 2 years old.
Got you.
And then, you know, if it's been a really good year and lots of really great grass year round, then they'll put on 2-3 pounds a day for a while. And so they'll finish much faster. But like this winter, this spring has been tough.
Mm-hmm.
So,
got you. How do you manage your bookkeeping with like taxes and then determining profit margins?
Yeah, pretty terribly. I guess I'm more the old school way. I've got a big box. I throw all my receipts and stuff in. All my butcher receipts. Purchase receipts, all the sort of stuff for seed and fertilizer, and then I take it to my tax lady. But in terms of profit right now, you know, I'll take if any animals I have to buy, and then combine that with my butcher cost, and then kind of try to average out what my seed and fertilizer cost has been. Of course, this year and half of last year, they're going to be substantially lower since we've kind of stopped the organic piece. So I'm kind of curious to see what that'll end up being at the end of the year. But it's fairly general, you know. And so, you know, if I try to piece out, you know, weigh everything when I bring it in to see what my yields are from hanging weight to actual box meat weight. And then, you know, figure out what my cost is per pound of meat. And then, you know, I help use that to make sure my sales prices are covering all that, and they are. And most of the time, it's 100% or more markup, which is it's working out pretty well. So,
yeah. I guess, well, you kind of just touched on this. I guess, how would you recommend setting your price point on your products?
Competitors and the grocery store, like, a lot of time, well, right now, I think some of my stuff is below what Harris Teeter is, because, you know, that this year's been tough, grains going up, mm-hmm. that whole JVS cyber attack thing. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, and then I just kind of look at my competitors in the area and just make sure that at least in the middle of the road, you know, if I've got new product or when I start early on, I try to keep on the lower half just to encourage people to give us a try. And then I've kind of adjusted fire. I think just after the first couple of months, I realized I was too low on all my prime cuts. And, man, I raised the price $1, $1.50 and a couple of things, and they still sold right out, so...
Yeah. Would you, how frequently do you change your prices?
I haven't changed them probably since that initial one. So going on a year.
Okay. So fairly infrequently.
Yes, correct. Yeah.
Okay. What are some of the avenues or systems that you've used to sell, your products?
Most sales are in person at farmers markets and such, but I'm doing about a quarter to a third of sales online. I've got a website where everything's listed and people have all, they purchase online, they come to the farm and pick it up.
Got you. Do you have like an on-farm kind of store, or you just have people come to the house?
It's in the freezer, and you know, I sacrifice a day of a month of my life. I pick up animals and then my wife helps me out and we inventory every piece by the pound, and I punch in inventory by the piece. Try to make it as simple as possible for customers. You know, people, most farms, smaller farms will do, you know, you buy whatever, they go, they pick your piece out, they send you the, good Lord, I just drew a blank on the word. They send you the bill mm-hmm. of what your final actual cost is, and then you pay it, and then you have pickup. So try to cut all those steps out. So you go on, you can pick exactly, you know, what the weight is, what the cost is, you check out, that's it.
Got you. That's smart.
Trying to make it easy. I think that's the biggest complaint customers will have about doing small business, small farms. It's just it tends to be a little bit more work. So.
Yeah, I hear you. So kind of transitioning a little bit here. Could you kind of describe your typical workday?
Yeah. So, you know, we do the intensive grazing here along with regenerative agriculture. I guess that's a big part of it. But, so I wake up in the morning, especially during the summer, my youngest daughter and I, it's pretty awesome, I enjoy it. I'll get my coffee together, we'll head on out to the pastures, we'll move temporary fencing, you know, for a little bit, give all the animals new grass to graze. So that might be every day, maybe every 2-3 days, depending on the weather and what's going on, mm-hmm. how the growth is, time of year. And then after that, you know, it's checking on water and things like that. And then... whatever things I need to do throughout the day, whether it be fencing, building things, structures, corrals, and then towards the end of the day, I go back and make sure all the water's good. You know, every once in a while, I move animals more than once a day. You know, I try to interact with the animals quite a bit, try to keep them friendly. Mm-hmm. When people will come over and visit and see the animals. I think overall that's probably a pretty typical day. I think with regenerative ag on this scale, it does a lot early on to make things easier, less labor intensive, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
You know, during planting season, like Jesus, I'll have 2 weeks in the spring and 2 weeks in the fall where I'm doing stuff all day long. But, you know, I enjoy that. So,
what would you say, like your average, not counting those days, you know, where you're just sun up to sun down, but a what would you say your average like time in per day?
Oh, I mean, yeah, I'm usually working. I would probably say 8 to 10 hours a day.
Gotcha.
I'm out there doing things, but you know, like I said, I enjoy all that. So
yeah,
I've got a list a mile long that always things to do. It's always changing.
Mm-hmm.
So adjusting fence, a lot of fence work. I guess that's a big thing. You do a lot of fence work. My first 2 years were really great with fencing and animals. I just respected the heck out of the high tensile electric fencing. And then it just kind of changed. Like we just got 7 new baby 4-month-old goats from a guy that was having pasture issues and needed offload animals. And so I took them, and even though all my other goats care, these guys didn't. They went right through that fence into the road. I said, dang it. So I spent the last week trying to fence in another 6 acres with field fencing.
Yeah.
So it's kind of stuff like that. You know, next thing you know, things are going well and you got something to change. But and it's all about learning and adapting.
Yeah, absolutely. So what advice would you give someone who's considering a career in regenerative agriculture?
Patience. Patience.
Yeah.
Really just realizing and enjoying the process. And realizing that, yeah, I mean, conventional farming serves a purpose. I get it. I always try not to dog conventional farming. However, I think there's a lot of times where we can just do more. So as small farmers, especially veterans and stuff, that can work together, share equipment, share time, ideas, that sort of things, I think that, you know, just having that patience to let it all develop and not wanting the now, which is really hard sometimes, that's probably the biggest piece of advice.
Yeah, got you. Was there any, like, specialized training you would recommend someone kind of acquire before or like at the early stages of kind of starting the farm?
You know, I don't know. I didn't think I was lucky enough that I had a big soil science background. I've been into soils for a long time and that's helped me a lot to be able to take all the information to really become a grass farmer with a livestock problem. And in terms of formal education, yeah, I guess if you're good with sciences and really enjoy that stuff, just any of the degree in the sciences, chemistries that you could get to really understand the ins and outs, I think would be beneficial in terms of overcoming any problems you have, realizing what they are, preventing them before they happen. And then conferences, there's so much to learn in conferences of what people in person will tell you, what they've encountered, what they've done to overcome things. And then, of course, any OJT, get with a farmer, just get out there and start working. Doing things.
Yep. Sounds good. Well, that wraps it up, Tim. Kind of any closing words or comments?
Yeah, for real. Anybody, especially the veteran community that needs anything, whether it be around here or not, man, give my phone number, give my email. I'm always here for questions, figuring things out, whatever.
Will do.